This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. In the new movie Crazy Heart, Jeff Bridges plays a washed-up, alcoholic country singer and songwriter. Several of the songs he sings in the film were co-written by my guest T-Bone Burnett, who also produced the soundtrack for the film. Burnett is a songwriter, singer, and record producer with a mighty impressive list of credentials. He toured with Bob Dylan's Rolling Thunder Review. He produced the concert film Roy Orbison and Friends, was composer and music producer for the film O Brother, Where Art Thou, for which he won 4 Grammys, was executive music producer for the Johnny Cash biopic Walk the Line, and produced last year's Grammy Award-winning album by Robert Plant and Alison Krauss. Let's start with a scene from the beginning of Crazy Heart. Jeff Bridges' character, Bad Blake, has fallen so low from his days as a country star that he's now playing bowling alleys and dives. He's just arrived at a bowling alley in a small town in Colorado, where he's greeted by the manager.
Bad Blake, welcome to Pueblo.
Oh, proud to meet you, sir.
Hi there.
Boy, I've been listening to you for a hell of a long time. Did you have a good trip?
Long but good. Yeah, I played Clovis, New Mexico last night. I saw some pretty country. Glad to be here.
Well, down there is a bandstand. I'll catch up with you later, but sure is good to have you, Bad. Makes my day. And there's no smoking in the alley, but you can sure finish that one.
Oh, I'll take a McClure's up with the beer back, darling.
$4.75.
Also on the tab.
No tab.
I'm Bad Blake, darling. I am the band.
Jimmy? Tab?
Mr. Blake, we have a real nice room for you over at the Starlight Inn, and of course all your meals are taken care of, but I'm afraid we can't let you run a bar tab. It's in the contract. Mr. Green of Green and Gold, he put that in himself.
Did he?
Yes, sir.
Well, if you and Jackie have an agreement, we're going to have to stick with that, but don't you worry yourself about it. How much?
$4.75.
Mr. Blake, let me personally offer you all the free bowling you want.
That's a scene from Crazy Heart. Now let's hear Jeff Bridges sing one of the songs from the film, co-written by my guest T-Bone Burnett. That's I Don't Know from the soundtrack of Crazy Heart, one of the songs co-written by T-Bone Burnett. T-Bone Burnett, welcome back to Fresh Air. So you wrote these songs for Jeff Bridges. Well, some of them for Jeff Bridges, some of them for Colin Farrell does some singing too. Jeff Bridges isn't a singer. So did you have to write songs with a non-singer in mind?
No, actually, I've done that before in the theater, where you really have to sort of you turn it almost into rap music or something like that, poetry, you know. But Jeff has music in him. Jeff has the ability to make music. Making music's a funny thing. Like one person could sit down at a piano and hit 3 notes, and it sounds like a cat on the keys, you know. Another person could sit down at the piano and play the same 3 notes, and it sounds like music. So Jeff is one of the latter people that, although he's not a singer by trade or really even by craft, just by he's an amateur. He does it because he loves it, you know. But he's able to conjure music. So
Now, what about his range? Did you have to write songs that were good songs, but for a limited range of notes?
Yeah, well, I don't know about the range so much, but definitely the tone. He has a very deep chest tone, like Clooney did, really. And when we did Man of Constant Sorrow, we had another singer do that, because a guy, Dan Tominski, who plays with Alison Krauss. And, you know, we had to match. George actually is an incredibly good singer, but bluegrass is a specific kind of thing. And in that movie, the song had to be believed as a hit, or the movie wouldn't work. And so we brought in like a hit singer to do it. But we had to match the tone of the singer with George's tone, like a Reedy Bill Monroe kind of singer wouldn't have worked for that part. So because of George's speaking voice. So with Jeff, we had to find prototypes, really, that were in his range. It was more that than writing for a limited number of notes. So, you know, rather than some higher singer like George Jones or Buck Owens, we chose Don Williams and Leonard Cohen and singers who sang deep as sort of the jumping off point.
How did you figure out what kind of songs the Jeff Bridges character would write and sing? How did you figure out who he was musically?
Well, we did a timeline. We did a backstory for him, and we had a writer's table for about 6 months and talked about this character, Bad Blake, who he was, what he had listened to, where he had grown up, what kind of stuff he liked, what he didn't like, who he wanted to be, who he had ended up, answered all these questions about this character.
So who did he like? Who were his influences, as far as you were concerned?
Well, Leonard Cohen, I think Townes Van Zandt, you know, Hank Williams, Louis Armstrong. And, you know, there was a wide range of stuff that we figured he probably liked that he came from, you know. And Lightnin' Hopkins, too, who was one of Townes Van Zandt's inspirations, you know.
So are these songs that you would have written if you weren't writing in character? Would you have written any of these songs for yourself?
No, I wouldn't have. Although I must say, The Bridge to Hold On You is one of my favorite things I've ever written. So, you know, I take the inspiration gladly from having this character to write for. But no, I wouldn't have written him for myself.
Did Jeff Bridges have to be convinced to sing, or was he already comfortable with that?
You would have to convince him not to sing, you know. Jeff and I've been, we started out on Heaven's Gate together in 1978. We went up there, David Mansfield and Stephen Bruton and I, a few of us went up there for 3 weeks to do music. And we ended up being up there for 6 months with very little to do. And we ended up, every night we would, end up in someone's room playing guitar and singing songs and other things. but we started this act really 30 years ago, 32 years ago now. And, I've never known Jeff to be reticent to sing under any circumstances.
Okay, let's hear another song that you co-wrote with Stephen Bruton, the late Stephen Bruton, to whom the film is dedicated. And this is called Somebody Else. Tell us about writing this song.
Well, this was one of those that grew out of the writer's table, and I think, either Stephen and I said, I used to be somebody, but now I am somebody else, which becomes the first line that Bad Blake sings in the movie. We wanted to draw it out of a blues. It's a very sort of traditional blues melody that Stephen Bruton put a couple of different changes to, so it doesn't, it's not a 12-bar blues, but it follows that kind of melody. And it all grew out of these conversations we were having about who this guy was, what was eating him.
Well, let's hear it. This is Somebody Else, co-written by my guest T-Bone Burnett from the soundtrack of Crazy Heart, starring Jeff Bridges. Jeff Bridges sings.
I used to be somebody. Anybody's guess. Won't
That's Jeff Bridges singing one of the songs my guest T-Bone Burnett co-wrote for the new film Crazy Heart. We'll talk more with Burnett after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is songwriter, singer, and music producer T-Bone Burnett. He co-wrote some of the songs and produced the soundtrack for the new film Crazy Heart. It stars Jeff Bridges as a washed-up, alcoholic country singer and songwriter. You know, Jeff Bridges was quoted in the New York Times in an article by Margie Rocklin about working with you. And let me read what he said. He said, "I really want to pull this off. My process is that I work on stuff. I memorize my lines. I do the work. But Bone has a kind of Zen approach where you just kind of create space for this thing to occur. It kind of makes me anxious." So it's, I think it's really funny that a Zen approach should make somebody anxious. But
especially the dude, you know, Jeff Bridges.
Exactly, exactly.
The Zenist of all actors.
So what does he mean by your Zen approach?
Well, you know, I try not to touch the thing. I have to say, there was a time when I started out making records, producing music, that I wanted it to control everything. I wanted everything to be, you know, I wrote arrangements out, and I wanted the drummer to play all the beats and the fills that I imagined hearing. And after a few, you know, months or years of that, I got tired of it and realized that I was always more excited by other people's ideas than my own. So my method in going into the studio is to do as little as possible, just to show up and listen really hard until it sounds great.
And did you think of that as making Jeff Bridges anxious?
I didn't mean to make Jeff anxious. In fact, I don't think I did, but maybe I did a little bit. But you know, whatever it was seemed to have worked. So. So I'll, you know, but, you know, no, I don't, you know, it's hard to think of Jeff being very anxious about that. I know he probably wanted things to be more laid out, you know, in some kind of concrete way, but it you know, music's not like that. Music is a conjuring trick, and I've seen Jeff do that many times. Jeff isn't like an excellent lead guitarist, but he can play beautiful lead guitar, you know, and he's not like Pavarotti or anything, but he can sing a mystical version of a song and make it completely involving, and I've seen him do it time and time again. So the task here, if I can call it that, was to get him into that place where he could conjure. And that's, how do you do that? I don't know how you do that. You just sort of wait for it to happen.
Right, right. I know for some people, like for some people, I think you bring in a bottle of whiskey.
But, well, yeah, probably, yeah.
Yeah.
We may have done that too. I'm not sure.
Now, you said that Jeff Bridges is never reticent to sing, but there are other people, other actors not known as singers who you've worked with in singing parts, including Colin Farrell in this film, Crazy Heart, and also Joaquin Phoenix in Walk the Line. Were they as non-reticent as Jeff Bridges when it came to singing?
No, well, Colin was, well, you know, Colin's Irish, first of all, so I think all Irish people sing. I think Colin comes out of that tradition. Joaquin, on the other hand, was, you know, he quit every day. He, you know, it was such a daunting task to sing Johnny Cash, and you know, Joaquin worked so hard that he lowered his voice an octave in the process of making the movie to be able to sing those low notes. And you know, actors, first of all, actors do a mystical thing when they act. Reese, when she came in to sing Wildwood Flower,
this is Reese Witherspoon, who played June Carter Cash in the film,
right? Well, she came in. Well, I'll tell you a story about Joaquin. When we did the song I Walk the Line, there are five key changes in that song, or there are five different keys. Every verse is in a different key or a different register. And we rehearsed that for months and months. And by the time we got to the studio, Joaquin sang it one time straight through live. You know, he just channeled Johnny Cash for those 3 minutes or whatever it was. It was extraordinary to see. And the same thing happened with Reese Witherspoon. She came in to sing Wildwood Flower, and she was working with Roger Love, her vocal coach, back in the studio for a couple of hours. I was walking around the house listening. And after two or three hours of working on it, I heard the door slam in the studio, and then I heard the next door slam, and then I heard the other door slam, and then the door to outside slammed, and she was outside. And she just bent over at the waist and screamed at the top of her lungs as loud as she possibly could, I think, a blood-curdling scream. And I figured at that moment she was ready. So I walked downstairs and found her, and I said, "You want to go do this now? Let's just do it, you and me." And we sat down. I sat down on the couch, and she was standing right beside me. And we played Wildwood Flower live, me playing, her singing straight through one time. And she did it. She channeled, you know, the Carter family for a moment there. It was an amazing thing to watch after struggling with it for so long.
Let me ask you, if I had been there and I heard all those doors slam and I heard her scream, I would think, oh, she needs a few days off, as opposed to what you thought, which is, oh, she's ready now.
What? Well, by that time we'd been working two or three months, so I think she'd let the tension out that had been building up. You know, there's that balance, that Zen balance between trying and not trying, where you're not doing either one, you know, where you just are doing the thing. You know, if you're trying to do it, you'll probably be too tense. And if you're not trying to do it, you'll probably be too loose. And so you have to find that place where you're neither tense nor too loose, and you can just perform.
Are you
always alpha state or whatever right. It's called? You know.
Okay, so here's Jeff Bridges' Zen approach that he's talking about with you. So should we play Reese Witherspoon here?
Oh yeah.
So this is from the soundtrack from Walk the Line, and that's T-Bone Burnett and Reese Witherspoon from the soundtrack of Walk the Line.
Waltz one with my mangles of waving black hair, with the roses so red and the lilies so fair, and the myrtle so bright with the emerald dew, the pale and leader and eyes look like blue. I will dance, I will sing, and my life shall be gay. I will charm every heart and each crown I will sway. When I woke from my dreaming, my idols were clay. All portion of love had all flown away.
That's Reese Witherspoon with my guest T-Bone Burnett on guitar. Reese Witherspoon was playing June Carter Cash in Walk the Line, and that's from the soundtrack. And T-Bone Burnett has co-written most of the songs for the new movie Crazy Heart, which stars Jeff Bridges as an alcoholic, over-the-hill country music star who's now playing a lot of dives. So are you always confident that you have the take, that this is the take?
Well, only after I am, you know. But if you hear the thing, I mean, the producer is essentially the proxy for the audience. You're the first audience, and so that's your responsibility. It goes both directions. You're responsible to the artist to get the best out of him or her, and you're responsible to the artist. I mean, to the audience to do the same thing, to get the best out of the artist. So you just listen until it sounds right.
T-Bone Burnett will be back in the second half of the show. This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. My guest is songwriter, singer, and music producer T-Bone Burnett. He's produced recordings by Roy Orbison, Tony Bennett and Katie Lang, Robert Plant and Alison Krauss, John Mellencamp and Elvis Costello. He was music producer for the film O Brother, Where Art Thou? And the Johnny Cash biopic Walk the Line. Burnett co-wrote some of the songs and produced the soundtrack for the new film Crazy Heart, starring Jeff Bridges as a washed-up alcoholic country music songwriter and singer. Now, some of the songs in this movie, Crazy Heart, were co-written with Stephen Bruton, whose name also came up in an interview I recently recorded with Jeff Moldauer about Moldauer's latest album, Texas Sheiks, which features Stephen Bruton on guitar And Jeff Moldauer described that project as a way to distract Stephen Bruton from the fact that he was in chemotherapy and dying of cancer. And it sounded like Bruton had plenty of distractions because he was also really sick when he worked with you on the soundtrack to Crazy Heart. And you know, the soundtrack is dedicated to him. What was it like to work with him when he was facing death and dealing with chemo?
Well, you know, we all treated Stephen as a person and not as a disease, you know. So we just went ahead. He was full of life and he wanted to live, and he was fully engaged and fully alive, and so we treated him as if he were fully alive. I think a lot of times there's a temptation to, when people get a serious disease like that, to start treating them like a disease. But we were encouraged to just go ahead and treat Stephen as if, you know, the way we always did. And he actually when he went into his decline, it was very steep, but all the way through this movie, he was fully engaged, and so we just, you know, it was full of laughter, and I must say, I learned a lot about being alive from Stephen during that time, about being fully alive.
Now, I read that you told Jeff Bridges to study Stephen Bruton.
I didn't have to tell him that, by the way, but I did tell him that.
So what was it about Stephen Bruton's life that you thought would be valuable for Jeff Bridges in his role in Crazy Heart?
Well, Stephen, first of all, was one of us. He was one of our closest friends. You know, he and I have been friends for our whole lives, and he and Jeff have been friends for 30-some-odd years. And Stephen had lived that life. Stephen had, been in Kris Kristofferson's band during Kris's heyday, when he was writing all those great tunes and was out on the road. And for us at the time, you know, when we were all in our 20s, that was tall cotton, high cotton, whatever the word is, and phrases. Stephen is a great writer. He's one of our very best writers. But he wasn't willing to really go to Nashville and promote his songs. He didn't want to do that game. He didn't want to play any of the show business games. So what he ended up doing was playing dives, you know, and he drove around in a Suburban, the same kind of car Bad Blake drives. It may have even been the same color. It may have even been the same car. But he drove around. He would go out for weeks on end with his guitars and his clothes in the back of the Suburban and drive around for, you know, hundreds of miles every day to play these shows and come back with less money than he went out with. You know, he was a mine of information for Jeffrey, down to the things he wore around his neck, down to the kind of, you know, bracelets he wore, the way he held the guitar.
Well, let's hear a song that Stephen Bruton co-wrote with Gary Nicholson. And this is the song that's that was the big hit that the Jeff Bridges character, Bad Blake, had back in his more successful days. And it's called Fallin' and Flyin'. And would you tell the story behind this song?
Well, at our writer's table one day, Stephen was getting up to leave, and Jeff said, "Where are you going?" And he said, "I'm going where I shouldn't go and doing what I shouldn't do." And Jeff said, "Well, there's a song right there." And Stephen said, "Actually, it already is a song." And he played it for us. It's a song he had written with Gary Nicholson. And it sounded immediately like a hit song. It sounded like Bad's hit song. It had enough Buddy Holly in it. And, you know, Bad was very much a Texas musician. You know, that's one of the things. He comes from that place rather than the Nashville kind of place. There's probably more Western in Bad's music than country, you know. In the country and Western balance, it's balanced more toward Western. And that had a lot of that kind of Texas music in it. And it seemed like it would be a good hit song for Bad.
Yeah, and it's got another great line in it. Funny how fallen feels like flying for a little while.
For a little while.
For a little while, yeah. So why don't we hear the version of this so we get to hear Colin Farrell sing? Why don't we hear the duet version that Jeff Bridges does with Colin Farrell? And Colin Farrell plays the young, still very successful country music star who was mentored by the Jeff Bridges character. So here's the duet from the soundtrack of Crazy Heart. That's Colin Farrell and Jeff Bridges singing from the soundtrack of the new movie Crazy Heart. And my guest T-Bone Burnett was a producer of the film and of the soundtrack. He co-wrote many of the songs on the soundtrack, although not the one we just heard. No, we were talking about Stephen Bruton, who co-wrote many of the songs on the soundtrack, including the one we just heard. You knew each other at least when you were in your teens, maybe before that.
Yeah, we met probably, you know, when we were 12 or 13 years old. We both started teaching guitar or working at T.H. Kahn Guitar Shop in Fort Worth, Texas. And we were both, you know, we would, you know, sit around most of the day and look at guitar catalogs and, you know, dream about what we would get when we grew up.
Which you probably got.
Yeah, we did.
You know, his father had a record store. So did you get access to a lot of records you wouldn't have had access to if not for that?
We did. You know, back in the days before the World Wide Web, you couldn't find a Skip James record, for instance. You know, there were artists that you would hear about, Robert Johnson or something like that, that you'd hear about that would just be more legends. You wouldn't think they really existed. Even the Stanley Brothers, I thought lived in some other century, you know. And they weren't carried in the main. None of those records were carried in the mainstream record stores. But Stephen's dad was a musician and a very fine jazz drummer, and he collected not only in his store. You know, that was back in the days too, when stores were a reflection of the people who owned them and ran them. You know, they reflected their taste and the things they thought were important about music. So Stephen's dad had incredible taste and. And he was able to get hold of records that you know, we wouldn't have known how to, we wouldn't have had the wherewithal to find ourselves. And they started ordering a lot of records from, you know, Folkways and the Library of Congress, that, you know, Smithsonian, wherever that stuff comes from. And, we would hear all these beautiful old bands and, you know, records from that just weren't on the top 40 or anywhere close to it.
Now, did any of those records that you discovered in Stephen Bruton's father's record store end up on soundtracks that you produced for movies?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Oh, Death was one. Stephen played me Oh, Death by Doc Boggs, you know, from a Folkways recording that ended up Ralph Stanley. Well, there was, you know, so, and we've listened to a lot of Ralph Stanley, listened to a lot of Stanley Brothers. Then, you know, 40 years later or however many years later it was, I got to meet Ralph Stanley and I got to record him singing a song, Oh Death, that I'd learned from Stephen in, you know, 1958 or whatever it was, you know.
That's such a great record. Why don't we hear it?
Okay.
Okay, so this is Ralph Stanley singing Oh Death from the soundtrack of Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? And it's a cappella, so you're not accompanying him. And why'd you have him sing a cappella?
Well, he start. You know, I, in the beginning, I thought we would do do it like Doc Boggs did with just banjo and vocal. You know, but Ralph, first of all, doesn't play that Doc Boggs style of banjo. So when we got in to do it, it didn't make as much sense as him playing banjo and singing it as it did for Doc Boggs to do it. It was, you know, there's a difference in their styles. And then when we thought about it, you know, it made sense for the leader of the Klan in this particular rally that we were filming to not play banjo. You know, it made more sense for him really just to sing it a cappella. And then, of course, it was much more terrifying that way.
You mean the song itself was more terrifying, more yeah. Alone, more alone,
yeah, more
in the world?
Right, more stripped bare. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, so let's hear it. This is Ralph Stanley singing Oh Death, produced by my guest T-Bone Burnett for the soundtrack of Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Oh, Death. Oh, Death. Won't you spare me over till another year? Well, what is this that I can't see with ice cold hands taking hold of me? Well, I am death, none can excel. I'll open the door to heaven or hell. Oh, death, someone would pray, could you wait to call me another day? The children prayed.
That's Ralph Stanley singing Oh Death from the soundtrack of Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, a soundtrack which was produced by my guest T-Bone Burnett and was so successful. It sold like 9 million copies or something?
Yeah, so far.
So far.
I actually don't know how many, but a lot, something up in that range.
We'll talk more with T-Bone Burnett after we take a short break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is songwriter, singer, guitarist, and music producer T-Bone Burnett. He's won Grammys for producing the soundtrack of the film Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? And the album that brought together Alison Krauss and Robert Plant. He's also produced recordings by Roy Orbison, Elvis Costello, and Tony Bennett with K.D. Lang. Now, you're a performer, but you're also a producer. You've produced many records and in addition to movie soundtracks. And I think you had your first recording studio when you were 20?
Well, when I was 17, actually.
Wow.
Just when I got out of high school, I bought a studio.
You bought a studio?
Yeah, well, you know, back then, studios weren't that expensive, first of all. You know, there wasn't that much equipment, and there weren't that many studios. But, yeah, there was, yeah, we did. Two friends of mine and I bought a studio called Sound City. It was called Sound City in Fort Worth, Texas. And it's where Hey Baby had been recorded by Bruce Chanel. So sort of a few of the hits that had come out of the North Texas area had been recorded there.
So were you producing people who were considerably older than you when you were 17?
Yeah, and also there was a country joint in town called Panther Hall that I think had been a bowling alley and had been turned into a country venue. And, you know, every weekend acts would come through there, Conway Twitty and Doug Kershaw and people like that. And after the shows, they would come down to the studio, you know, with a bag of speed and a couple of bottles of Crown Royal or something, and record till 8 or 9 in the morning. So we did that kind of stuff a lot. And then there were a lot of local bands that were playing at the time that wanted to make records. And then there were the odd things that came in from all over the place. I did whatever I could do to keep the studio running at the time.
Now, was it in the 80s? I think it was in the 80s that you produced like a teleconcert of Roy Orbison with all stars, including Bruce Springsteen and Bonnie Raitt. Was that in the 80s?
Yeah, it was either the late 80s or the early 90s, something. It might have been 92.
Mm-hmm. I'm such a big Roy Orbison fan. What was it like to work with him?
Well, it was a tremendous learning experience. The first thing I learned from him is he sang incredibly quietly. Like all of those big notes and all of that tone came from his chest, but it was all very quiet and it was just huge. But, you know, if you stood 3 feet away from him, you could barely hear him. But if you got up close, you could hear all that tone and you could hear all that singing, that conjuring he did. And so I learned a lot from that. I learned that, you know, if you like, for instance, if you hit a drum hard, it'll choke off the tone of the drum. And same, if you sing hard, it'll choke off your tone because your vocal cords, if you don't know how to sing hard, you know, your vocal cords will get tight and things will get choked up. But if you hit a drum softly, you get a tremendous amount of tone. Then if you turn it up loud, it sounds, you know, 1,000 times louder than hitting a drum hard. And it's the same with all instruments. You can only hit an acoustic guitar so hard before it starts folding up. And I learned a lot of that from Orbison. And then also he taught me a lot about the way he wrote songs. Like, he didn't write songs in a form like first, verse, chorus, verse. He wrote songs that would start on his lowest note and go to his highest note, and he would just find a way to leave the one and arrive at the other. Like in Dreams is a good example of that. There are no parts that repeat themselves. It's like a small, like a little aria, like a little pop aria or something.
And in Crying, it just keeps building and building till he gets to a high note that you can't imagine he'd be able to reach, and he nails it.
Yeah. Running Scared, there's so many of them like that.
So what did you mic him differently, or, you know, was he mic'd differently because he gets such big notes, but as you're saying, it's not like he's shouting them?
Yeah. No, we didn't mic him differently, really, but one of the interesting things was, you know, we wear headsets when we record a lot of times, and he wouldn't have his own voice in his headsets when he was singing, because he said that he had sung so many years without monitors live that he had learned how the notes felt in his jaw. So he would have the band really loud in his ears without hearing himself at all and would just sing very quietly, feeling the notes in his bones.
Wow.
Wild, you know.
My guest is songwriter, singer, guitarist, and producer T-Bone Burnett. Let's hear a song he co-wrote with Roy Orbison and Bob Neuwirth, which Burnett recorded years later for his 2008 album, Tooth of Crime.
We stood together in the open field, and heard the secret of the night revealed. Then we chased the light, racing through the sky. Can the entangled guilt or innocence, how hard we torture this ambivalence, night will bring no dawn. Where has
That's T-Bone Burnett. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is songwriter, singer, guitarist, and music producer T-Bone Burnett. He co-wrote some of the songs and produced the soundtrack for the new film Crazy Heart. One of your really successful projects was producing the album of duets between Robert Plant, formerly of Led Zeppelin, and the country and bluegrass star Alison Krauss. What was your job on the project? Did you bring them together? Was that your idea?
No, I think Bill Flanagan, I think, had the idea. I actually think it grew out of Flanagan has a show called Crossroads, and on those shows, he finds somebody from the rock and roll world and somebody from the country world, and they do songs together. And I think his idea was to put, I think it was his idea to put Alison and Robert together. And, my job really was to find things that neither one of them had done before. You know, Robert had come mostly from the Delta, and Alison had come mostly from the mountains, from mountain music, Appalachian music. So we found Delta songs for Alison to sing and Appalachian songs for Robert to sing. And then, hope to be able to find some place in the middle where they could coexist.
Did you choose Your Long Journey?
Yeah, I did choose that song. Another song that Stephen Bruton, by the way, had hipped me to.
Oh, was that, is that by Doc and Merle Watson? Because it says Watson and Watson on the credit.
Doc and Rosalie, Doc's wife, wrote that, I think.
Oh.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm sure it comes out of an old church song, but what a beautiful song that is.
It's a beautiful song. Tell us why you chose that for Plant and Krauss to duet on.
Just because I love the song. You know, there were several songs that I've been carrying with me for years that I've never done anything with. One of them was that, and one of them was Killing the Blues. Riley Sally had played me Killing the Blues in Nick Gravanitis' house in probably the 1970s or something like that. And I heard it that one time, and I had remembered it. I carried it with me all those years. And then when this record came up, I thought, oh, there's a song that neither of them would do that would be interesting that maybe we could find a middle ground for, you know?
So I want to play Your Long Journey. Is there anything else you'd like to say about it?
Well, it's... I just think it's a beautiful hymn. It's a beautiful tune.
Did you have to do any work with Robert Plant to get him in the right space for a song like this?
Well, I mean, yeah, but yes.
Okay. Could you describe what?
Well, look, Al, that was a tune that Alison was more comfortable with. That's a song that's in Alison's wheelhouse, and Mike Seeger came in and played auto harp on it. So the way we recorded that was Alison sang it, and then I think she sang Robert's part and taught Robert how to sing that song.
Okay, all right. So here's Robert Plant and Alison Krauss, "Your Long Journey," which is from their album Together, which it won a Grammy, didn't it?
I won a few, yeah.
Won a few, all right. Produced by my guest, T-Bone Burnett. Your long journey. That's Alison Krauss and Robert Plant from their album of duets Raising Sand, which was produced by my guest T-Bone Burnett, who, among many other things, also produced the soundtrack for the new film Crazy Heart, starring Jeff Bridges as a country singer. And T-Bone also co-wrote some of the songs for the film. We're out of time, but I want to squeeze in one more question, which is, you've worked on so many different projects over the years. Do you still have, like, a music fantasy yet to be fulfilled?
No, I don't think I do, really. Maybe to be good, you know. That would probably be it. You know, if I stay at this long enough, I might get good at it.
T-Bone Burnett, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you, Terry. Great to talk with you.
T-Bone Burnett co-wrote some of the songs and produced the soundtrack for the new film Crazy Heart, starring Jeff Bridges as a washed-up country singer and songwriter. You can download podcasts of our show on our website, freshair.npr.org.